We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto, 19th chapter, verses 1 to 29. Verse 1. Shishukumavacha sitama charankama china paravamana bhutta piyaya nirvino gattame tamagayata. Shikadev Goswami said, O Maharaj Pariksha, Yayati is very much attached to woman. In due course of time, however, when disgusted with sexual enjoyment and its bad effects, he renounced this way of life and narrated the following story to his beloved wife. Mukam karati vachanam bhangan langayate girim yakipantaram vande shi guru niratarinam Om agyana timirannasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what do you remember from this morning's class? Anything? Yes, Akinchana. Oh. A very good thing to remember. If you remember the name of Dhanvantari, you get free from all disease. So next time you're sick, or you just remember Dhanvantari's name. Yes?
We learned that Sukracharya, he's very affectionately attached to his daughter.
We learned how Sukracharya was affectionately attached to his daughter. Very attached. So he had to do things that he would normally not do. And go begging to his disciple for mercy, for his daughter, Vishparva. Anything else? Okay, we'll go on. Verse 2. My dearly beloved wife, now we're going to have an analogy or an allegory, allegorical story, which is a story of the life of Yayati. In this world, there was someone exactly like me. Please listen as I narrate the history of his life. By hearing about the life of such a householder, those who have retired from householder life always lament. Purport. Persons who live in the village or town are called Grama Nivasi. Those who live in the forest are called Vanavasi or Vanaprast. The Vanaprastas, who have retired from family life, generally lament about their past family life because it engaged them in trying to fulfill lusty desires. Prahlad Maharaj said, one should retire from family life as soon as possible. And he described family life as the darkest well. Hidvatmapatam vihamandakupam. So we'll go on to verse 3. While wandering in the forest, eating to satisfy his senses, a he-goat by chance approached a well, in which he saw a she-goat standing helplessly, having fallen into it by the influence of the results of fruitive activities. Go to the end of the purport. When one is fully convinced of the degrading nature of worldly family life, one should completely renounce this way of life, take sannyas, and engage himself fully in the service of the Lord. Then one's life will be successful. 4. After planning how to get the she-goat out of the well, the lusty he-goat dug up the earth on the well's edge with the point of his horns in such a way that she was able to come out very easily. Purport. So what is the moral of this verse? Yes? Yes, not only to attract, but to maintain. To maintain the woman, then the man has to work very hard in this world. Purport. Attraction for woman is the impetus for economic development, housing, and many other things meant for living comfortably in this material world. Digging up the earth to make a way out for the she-goat was a laborious task, but before accepting the she-goat, the he-goat underwent this labor. Ato vihakshate sitaptavita janasya maha yamaham ameti. The union between male and female provides the impetus for gaining a nice apartment, good income, children, and friends. Thus, one becomes entangled in this material world. Thus, Srila Prabhupada would quote an economist named Marshall, some economist. And Marshall said that the impetus for, he said the same thing. The impetus for economic development is to, if someone is married, if he's a family man, then he'll want to work. So therefore, in hiring people, they would check to see if they're married, then they think they're more stable. Whereas now, in the West, there's no stability even in the marriage. And so therefore, it may not work now. But it used to work in previous generations, that if someone was married, even now it works too. The problem is that it may not work out because there's, you know, most of them or half of them, at least half in America at least, end in divorce, if not more than half. I don't know what the statistics are now. Yeah, if you don't want a woman who's married, because then she gets pregnant and then you have to give her leave and you have to even get pay for the leave. Yeah. It works for the men. Yeah, right. Now it doesn't matter. So, yeah, society has changed. Verse 5-6. When the she-goat, who had very nice hips, got out of the well and saw the very handsome he-goat, she desired to accept him as her husband. When she did so, many other she-goats also desired him as their husband, because he had a very beautiful bodily structure, a nice mustache and beard. So goats, they have mustache. And very expert in discharging semen and in the art of sexual intercourse. Therefore, just as a person haunted by a ghost exhibits madness, the best of the he-goats, attracted by the many she-goats, engaged in erotic activities and naturally forgot his real business of self-realization. So what is the ghost that haunts materialistic people? Prabhupada explains it in the purport. This ghost. What is this ghost? Yeah, there is a verse of Rupa Goswami. Mukti and Mukti. Two witches.
Haunted by those two witches of Bhog and Mukti.
Yes. So if you look in the purport, the last sentence, like an unfortunate person who acts madly, haunted by ghosts, a materialist haunted by the ghost of lust forgets his real business so he can enjoy so-called happiness in the bodily concept of life. And I have that verse by Rupa Goswami here. It's quoted in Madhya Lila. It's actually a verse of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya 19. Yeah, it's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.22. It's quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 19th chapter, verse 176. It's actually a verse quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj, or whoever is speaking.
Madhya
19, 176. And here's the verse. Bhukti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hidivartate tavad bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudaya pavet. Material desire to enjoy the material world and desire to become liberated from material bondage are considered to be two witches and they haunt one like ghosts. As long as these witches remain within the heart, how can one feel transcendental bliss? As long as these two witches remain in the heart, there is no possibility of enjoying the transcendental bliss of devotional service. So these are the witches we have to be careful of. And he is trying to instruct his wife now, and he's talking about this witch, this ghost, person haunted by a ghost. And who was that person haunted by a ghost? It was he himself, who is haunted by the ghost of lust, or lusty attraction to his wife, his many wives, actually. So verse 7, when the she-goat who had fallen into the well saw her beloved goat engaged in sexual affairs with another she-goat, she could not tolerate the goat's activities. Verse 8, aggrieved by her husband's behavior with another, the she-goat thought the he-goat was not actually her friend, but was hard-hearted, and was her friend only for the time being. Therefore, because her husband was lusty, she left him and returned to her former maintainer. Being very sorry, the he-goat, who was subservient to his wife, followed the she-goat on the road and tried his best to flatter her, but he could not pacify her. The she-goat went to the residence of a Brahmin who was the maintainer of another she-goat, and that Brahmin angrily cut off the he-goat's dangling testicles, but at the he-goat's request, the Brahmin later rejoined them by the power of mystic yoga. End of the purport, Prabhupada says. Because he used his power of mystic yoga for family affairs and not to realize Supreme Personality of Godhead, this exercise in the magic of yoga was no better than the affairs of he-goats and she-goats. Yogic power should properly be used to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord himself recommends in Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam apisadisham magatirantaratmana shudhavam chteyomam samayukta tamomatha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Verse 11, my dear wife, when the he-goat had his testicles restored, he enjoyed the she-goat he had gotten from the well. But although he continued to enjoy for many, many years, even now he has not been fully satisfied. End of purport. Prabhupada says, panchashodham vadam vajet. Human life is meant for such tapasya, or austerity. By the austerity of voluntarily stopping sex life at home and going to the forest to engage in spiritual activities in association of devotees, one achieves the actual purpose of human life. So when you get older, then the emphasis should be on detachment. Not that, of course, in the West, there's what they call a midlife crisis. And so the person, when he hits middle age, then the opposite happens. He feels like, oh, I didn't do so many things before, and now I want to do these things. But it's actually they're being influenced by the change of the body from middle age to old age. When this change occurs, then all these hormones get active, and then you get these ideas, just like when you're a teenager, all these hormones are active. So when that change of body happens at that age, the same thing happens. And then people, they start thinking, oh, now is my last chance to enjoy. But actually, you already lost it by that time. There's no chance to enjoy. And it's just an illusion, a big illusion. That you cannot. And life, marriage after 40 is not fun. It's not like it is when you're 20 and 30. It's quite a different thing. But this is what happens. So actually, detachment, when you become old, you should become detached. It's natural, the body becomes old, and you can't do the things you used to do. Although I think in the West, people think they can do the same things, and they try very hard. Who was it that was saying, was it in this class, there was a problem with old people at the retirement homes? They have this retirement place in America. You were telling me? No. Somebody was telling me that there's this place for old people like 60, 70, 80 in America somewhere where they have all the games, they have everything. But they had a problem in their retirement home that they were getting these sexual diseases, sexually transmitted AIDS and all these different things in the retirement home with these old people. And so it shows that the desire, it never finishes. So Brijan tells a story that it's very important, of course, what you're thinking at the time of death. Here's a story from Brijan on this verse. When Brijan was 10 years old, he had a blue parakeet. You know what a parakeet is? Like a parrot, like a bird, a blue bird in a cage. And the bird was not very friendly. One night, the bird suddenly became really friendly and started talking the whole night. But then the next morning, the bird died. So Brijan thought, well, this bird must have been in anxiety because he knew there was a problem ahead for him and he was going to die. So he just started talking and talking. Oh, hi, Bo Parvati.
Hi, Bo.
So then Brijan said, maybe he thought of me when he died and became a human being. He said, but if I had died at that moment and I was thinking of him, I would have become a bird. Anyway, Brijan's comments on this verse. So what you do in this life, every second counts. Every second, what you're thinking of, every second counts. And we have to somehow or other think of Krishna in every situation. So now he's trying to inspire his wife in renunciation. Whereas the whole life they were doing the opposite. Now he's trying to bring her, give her liberation actually. Verse 12. Oh my dear wife with beautiful eyebrows, I am exactly like that he-goat, for I am so poor in intelligence that I am captivated by your beauty and have forgotten the real task of self-realization. Purport. If one remains a victim of the so-called beauty of his wife, his family life is nothing but a dark well. Hidvatmapatam vihamandakukham. Existence in such a dark well is certainly suicidal. So verse 13, a person who is lusty cannot satisfy his mind even if he has enough of everything in this world, including rice, barley and other food grains, gold, animals and women. Nothing can satisfy him. So why do they mention barley and food grains and rice? Because that was the wealth previously. If you had a good stock of rice and wheat and these things, and even now it's that way. Like I have one lady who comes and does some work in my house, and she told me, oh, I got some money, and I bought 70 kgs of rice, one whole year's of rice, and I kept it. 70 kgs of rice, 30 kgs of wheat, and she's going to buy mustard oil after the... No, she's going to wait for wheat until after they harvest. And then she just keeps a stock because she was poor before. Now she's getting some money. She says, I'm keeping stock. Rice, wheat, everything, oil, mustard oil for cooking Bengali. So after the harvest, she'll get mustard oil. But previously, this was the idea. If you have a stock, a good stock of rice, and these things, you're rich. And if you have cow, it gives you milk. And so when I read that, I thought, rice? And then I remembered what this lady told me. Said, yeah, rice, gold, animals, and women. But even if you have all these things, still you won't be satisfied. And so we'll go to the middle of the purport. Although every living entity is a part of the Supreme Being, because of lusty desires, one continuously struggles for the so-called betterment of one's economic condition. To have a satisfied mind, one must give up his heart disease of lusty desires. This can be done only when one is Krishna conscious. Bhaktim param bhagavati patilapikamam hidrogam ashvap bahin notyachire natira. So what is the word? This is in the purport, right? This quote, yes. What is the word here for the disease of the heart? Hridrogam. And kamam, the word before, lusty disease of the heart. Kamam, hridrogam. If one becomes Krishna conscious, then he can give up this heart disease. Otherwise, this disease of lusty desires will continue, and one cannot have peace in his mind. So if you don't have peace of mind, you must have some kind of desires there to enjoy. So hridroga kama, kama hridroga. So Prabhupada, in a lecture on Bhagavatam 177, talks about this hridroga kama and how to cure the heart disease. So what is the cure for hridroga kama? Yes. Exactly. Oh, I told you the verse number. Yes, yasyam vai shuyamanayam. Krishne paramapurushe. 177. Krishna paramapurushe. Shoka moha paya paha. Gets rid of shoka, moha, and paya. Fear, illusion, and lamentation. And it cures the heart disease. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Nityam Bhagavate Sevaya and Kirtaniya Sadahari. So Prabhupada said, this is the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Both Kirtaniya Sadahari and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Says, we are teaching our men how to spread Krishna Upadesh, Krishna consciousness, then anartha upashamam sakshat. All the unwanted things will be removed. So remember 7th canto, 15th chapter, verse 20, it talks about greed. Even if a greedy person has conquered all directions of the world or has enjoyed everything in the world, still he will not be satisfied. So that's similar to this verse here. 7:15:20. And there is a commentary on this verse by Sridhar Swami. Maybe if one again engages in lots of sense gratification, the mind will be satisfied with that. So the lust will subside and illusion will cease. The answer is given in these two verses, 13 and 14. So he's saying, well, why don't we just try enjoying completely and then we'll be satisfied. But no, you'll never be satisfied. 14, as supplying butter to a fire does not diminish the fire, but instead increases it more and more. The endeavor to stop lusty desires by continual enjoyment can never be successful. In fact, one must voluntarily cease from material desires. So the brackets means, I guess it's not in the verse, but we're being given some instruction here, what to do. You cannot stop by enjoyment, so therefore you should voluntarily cease. Purport. One may have enough money and enough resources to satisfy the senses, but still not be satisfied. For the endeavor to stop lusty desires by enjoying can never be successful. The example given here is very appropriate. One cannot stop a blazing fire by trying to extinguish it with butter. So in the 7th canto again, chapter 15, verse 22, the Narada Muni gives instruction how you can actually give up lusty desires. What is that instruction by Narada Muni? How to do it? By making sankalpa, which means
a vow.
Determination, making plans with determination. And that means making a sankalpa, making a vow not to engage in sense gratification, lusty desires. Good. So then that verse continues. Giving up envy, you conquer anger by discussing, similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. Okay. By discussing disadvantages of accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. So a wonderful verse there. All these heavy things, lust, anger, greed, and fear. Very heavy. 7:15:22. So four things that disturb and pierce the heart. Lust, anger, greed, and fear. All in one verse. What to do? If you want to try and do something, chant Hare Krishna and do these things as well. And then you'll be helped. Because we chant, and of course the chanting itself will clean the heart. But at the same time, we must endeavor to become free from anartas. And that in chanting, that means, in terms of chanting Hare Krishna, there's two things that show that you're on the level of Namabhas chanting. Does anybody know what those two things are? You're on the Janamashtami. Yes. Yeah, one of them is you're very intently trying to avoid Nama Parad. And there's a second one that shows that you're on the platform of Nama Bhasa chanting. Of course, we have to endeavor. We chant and we have to endeavor as well. The other symptom is that you are trying to chant attentively, trying to hear.
So trying. That's then included in avoiding the offenses?
I guess so. It could be included. The offenses include everything in attentive chanting, so it could be like that.
Well,
yeah.
It's also an offense.
Well, it's good to emphasize that one. Yes.
This is also can be explained by the fact that these 10 offenses are presented in two different ways, and this being inattentive by chanting sometimes is considered an offense. Hmm.
Yeah.
But at some other time, it's not in the list of 10 offenses. This split, there's another offense on Mary or something.
Right, right. Yes, sometimes it's in the list and sometimes
list
it's not.
We have 10 offenses plus that one.
Yeah.
There's another list in
included. Uh-huh. And so, there is a commentary on this verse by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. As long as you have desires, you should enjoy sense objects in even greater degree. Vishnu says, for a supremely wealthy man like you, what is the dearth of garlands, sandalwood paste, women? So the word never, a fire is satiated with butter. So the answer is never. Just as a fire is never satiated with butter, so never will we be satiated by enjoying. Krishna Vartma, whose way is black, means fire. Thus one who has not subdued desires is always unhappy, and only one who pacifies desires is happy. Okay? So these are lessons to learn along the way here in these verses. And one is that no matter how much you enjoy, you will never be satisfied. That's the lesson to learn today from all these verses. 15. Now here's another one. If you want to be happy, here's a verse. When a man is non-envious and does not desire ill fortune for anyone, he is equipoised. For such a person, all directions appear happy. Okay? Non-envious, does not desire ill fortune, then you'll be happy. This is the next verse, 15. The verse we're on. Verse 15. Purport. Prabhupada Saraswati said, Visham Purna Sakayate. When one becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, for him the entire world appears happy, and he has nothing for which to hanker. In the Brahma-Bhuta stage, a platform of spiritual realization, there is no limitation, no material hankering, na shoshti, na kangshti. As long as one lives in the material world, actions and reactions will continue. But one is unaffected by such material actions and reactions. He is to be considered free from the danger of being victimized by material desires. The symptoms of those who are satiated with lusty desires are described in this verse, explained by Śrīla Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. When one is not envious, even of his enemy, does not expect honor from anyone, but instead desires all well-being, even for his enemy, he is understood to be a Paramahansa, one who has fully subdued the lusty desires for sense gratification. So remember, again, I'm going back to 7th canto, chapter 15, now we're in verse 24, and it describes how you can counteract sufferings due to other living entities, adibhautik, adidaivik, adiatmik, sufferings. Does anybody remember how you counteract sufferings from other living entities? Yes.
Kind.
Good behavior and freedom from envy. Being kind, merciful. And how do you counteract sufferings due to providence? By meditation and trance. And how do you counteract sufferings due to your own body and mind? Yes.
Yoga.
Hatha yoga. Pranayama. Chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, so we have an example of Srila Prabhupada, how he was an example of this verse. He was non-envious, he did not desire ill fortune for anyone, equipoised, and he was not greedy. Srila Prabhupada, this is before he went to America, he was living in Vrindavan, at Radha Damodar Temple. There was one Brijbasi who was remembering about Srila Prabhupada. He said, a few times, Prabhupada took a small portion of prasadam in our house. When he came to the door doing madhukari, I remember him saying, Radhesham, Shri Gaurahari. Whenever I attended big prasadam feasts at the temples, like Radha Damodar or others, I would never see Prabhupada at the feast. For instance, during the disappearance celebration of Shri Jiva or Rupa Goswami at Radha Damodar, I did not see Prabhupada come out and socialize. He just came out, took a small amount of prasad, and went back into his kuti. Well, that was Prabhupada. That's how he observed the feasts. He just came out, took a little, and went back and ate it himself. So here we have Gaura Krishna Goswami. Srila Prabhupada's daily routine was to take darshan of Radha Damodar and Radha Raman, then sit in front of Gopal Bhatta's samadhi. Whatever he received in his Madhukari, he would be satisfied with. So we read before, Prabhupada used to go to 8 different houses to do Madhukari in Vrindavan. And he would just take a little, like madhu, it means little bit from each house. So those fortunate people who gave Madhukari to Srila Prabhupada, they're remembering actually.
Eight different houses. But they were the same houses?
Yes. Every day it's 8 different houses. And even the milkman, I think they were giving him milk.
He was sitting free.
That's what it says here. Yeah. Yeah, Radharaman. So this is Srila Prabhupada. We have a commentary on this verse by 2 acharyas. Srila Swami says, then when and by which means can the mind be fully satisfied so the lust subsides? So this is the answer to this question. How can the mind be fully satisfied so lust will subside? So this 15, actually not only 15, 6 verses, 15 through 20 give the answer. And here it says, inauspicious attitude, amangalam. So ill fortune, desiring ill fortune for anyone, amangalam, he does not desire amangalam, or inauspicious, means, this inauspicious attitude means duality of attachment and hatred. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, here general characteristics of one who has pacified lust are described. And one does not do inauspiciousness, hatred to anybody, or to anybody, to those who hate one. The meaning is, if one desires honor, then one will hate those who disrespect him. Equal vision means equal consciousness toward practical social offenses and praise. For him, all directions are filled with happiness. So Vishwanath gives us more details how to practice this vision. Verse 16, continuing with our description of a person who is satisfied. For those who are too attached to material enjoyment, sense gratification is very difficult to give up. Even when one is an invalid because of old age, one cannot give up such desires for sense gratification. Therefore, one who actually desires happiness must give up such unsatisfied desires, which are the cause of all tribulations. So Prabhupada, he was in the West, and he observed the behavior of the old men in the Western countries. So in the purport, he gives that. We have actually seen, especially in the Western countries, that men who have reached more than 80 years of age still go to nightclubs and pay heavy fees to drink wine and associate with women. Although such men are too old to enjoy anything, their desires have not ceased. Time deteriorates even the body itself, which is the medium for all sensual satisfaction. But even when a man becomes old and invalid, his desires are strong enough to dictate that he go here and there to satisfy the desires of his senses. Therefore, by the practice of bhakti yoga, one should give up his lusty desires. So, everybody knows that story of Akbar and Birbal and the old man? Everybody knows. Only La Bangalata doesn't know all the stories. Okay. Then we'll tell the story that Birbal was the advisor to Akbar, Emperor Akbar. Birbal was a Brahmin. And so he was giving advice, and he said to Akbar one day, you know, that Akbar asked him actually, well, at what age are lusty desires finished? And Birbal said, never, even in old age, up to the point of death, people have lusty desires. So then he said, so a few days passed, then Birbal said, I need you to come with me right away. So incognito, they went, and there was a place where and he said, and bring your daughter with you. So there was a place where this old man was about to die. And they went into the room. And Birbal said, notice where the eyes of the old man go. So the emperor, no, he didn't go incognito. He came as the emperor, actually. He walked in the room with his daughter. And who did the old man look at? The daughter. The emperor, you know, the emperor of the whole thing, and he doesn't care, he's looking at the daughter. So this is where the mind is, where his mind is, time of death, where it was his whole life. That's where the mind goes. So, therefore, the next verse, verse 17. Matjasasrad vitrava navivictasana bhave balavanindya grama vivansamapi karshati. One should not allow oneself to sit on the same seat, even with one's own mother, sister, or daughter. For the senses are so strong, even though one is very advanced in knowledge, he may be attracted by sex. Purport. Learning the etiquette of how to deal with women does not free one from sexual attraction. As specifically mentioned herewith, such attraction is possible even with one's mother, sister, or daughter. Generally, of course, one is not sexually attracted to his mother, sister, or daughter. But if one allows himself to sit very close to such a woman, one may be attracted. This is a psychological fact. So then Prabhupada says, okay, maybe it will happen, but if someone's very learned, it should not happen. So the answer is given, it may be said one is liable to be attracted if he's not very advanced. This is for low-class people, not for advanced people in civilized life. However, as specifically mentioned here, vidvangsam apikarshati, even if one is highly advanced, materially or spiritually, he may be attracted by lusty desires. The object of attraction may even be one's mother, sister, or daughter. Therefore, one should be extremely careful in dealings with women. End of purport. The wife of the spiritual master may sometimes take some service from the disciple of her husband, as she would from a son. But if the wife of the spiritual master is young, a brahmachari is forbidden to render service to her. So this is an example, that if the wife of the spiritual, she's considered one of the seven mothers, wife of the guru. But if she's young, then you shouldn't serve her, young brahmachari. Nanvagni, Woman is like fire, and man is like butter. Right. So we have 7:12:9. Here's another verse for you. So this is also for devotees. You have to be careful. And it happens, and people fall down. So we've seen the history of ISKCON. Yes? CPO,
child protection.
Okay, 95% of abuse of female children is by their protectors. Father, uncle, like that.
Family friend.
Yes, so this is the sad state of Kali Yuga. Yes, Yashoda.
And more sad because it's not just females, it's also males.
It's also males too. Yeah, in this case it's female. So Prabhupada said in one purport of 5:6:3, he said that, he quoted this verse, and he said, in our Krishna conscious movement, it has been very difficult to disassociate ourselves from women in our society, especially in Western countries. We are therefore sometimes criticized, but nonetheless we are trying to give everyone a chance to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and thus advance spiritually. We stick to the principle of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly. Then, by the grace of Srila Haridas Thakur, we may be saved from the allurement of women, Prabhupada says. However, if we are not very strict in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we may at any time fall victim to women. So we have to take this to heart as devotees, that we must be strict in chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and that will save us. That will save us, actually. And this goes men for women and women for men. So I forgot here, we have a few commentaries, so I'll read the one on 16. 16 is about, if you're too old, you cannot give up such desires, but you must give them up. Verse 16, even time, destroyer of everything, does not effect destruction of lust. So isn't that amazing? You ever think of that? Time destroys everything, but lusty desires. That is not destroyed. Your body is finished. You can't do anything. But still, if you see in the West, in India it's not so much, but in the West what's that word? Anyway, you can see it very clearly. Anyway, you can just see the old people, there's makeup, there's so many things to hide the wrinkles and operations and
They brought out this drug for men so they can keep being sexually active.
Yeah, they brought a new drug out for old men.
Several years ago. But the rape crisis centers say that before that the old women were safe, the men got too old and they couldn't be raped by their husbands. And now these women.
And before the old women were safe. Okay. So now is more problems.
More problems
because of this new drug. And so time destroys everything. So did you know that? There's only one thing time doesn't destroy in this world. This is from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, a commentary on verse 16. This is good. So again, Yayati gives a method for curbing desires that are so difficult to pacify. One who wishes happiness, auspiciousness to all, even to one's enemies, quickly gives up desires. So if you have this very positive frame of mind, even to your enemies, then you can do it. You can actually be free from lusty desires. In verse 17, Vishwanath says, besides, there's another thing you can do, is don't sit on the same seat. Besides having a good frame of mind, don't tempt fate. Lust for women is curbed by proper behavior. This verse shows 17, sadachar, don't sit on the same seat even with your mother. And so sadachar, not only do you need to have your mind in the right consciousness, desiring happiness for everyone, but you must also act properly and don't tempt fate. So verse 18. I have spent a full 1,000 years enjoying sense gratification, yet my desire to enjoy such pleasure increases daily. Even after 1,000 years. Goodness. So again, commentary, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, verse 18. I am a good example of how absorption in sense gratification does not wear off with passage of time. So he's putting himself as an example that lust never finishes. 19. Therefore I shall now give up all these desires and meditate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, free from dualities of mental concoction and free from false prestige. I shall wander in the forest with the animals. So that's what they used to do, literally. They would leave their opulent kingdom and go wandering with the animals in the forest. Just like one of the animals, just wandering. Of course, now vanaprastha has a different meaning. And Prabhupada explains what this is in this purport, about 8 lines down. Well, before I read it, what do you think?
Preach.
Huh?
Preaching.
Go out and preach. Okay? Yes?
Vrindavan.
Go to Vrindavan. I mean, it's talking about forest here. So the application is, which forest should you go to? Yes, vanam hitvatma patam andakupam vanam gato yad harim ashrayata. Harim, and where is Hari? In Vrindavan. Of course, wherever there is a temple of Hari is also Vrindavan. So Prabhupada talks about this Vrindavan here in this purport. So here's a sentence that's very, very important. Cultivating Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan is the best means of being liberated from material bondage. So we're all so fortunate, we're all in Vrindavan. So this is what we should do, cultivate Krishna consciousness. And we have it made. Cultivate Krishna consciousness in Vrindavan. For in Vrindavan, one can automatically meditate upon Krishna. How is that? How is it automatic? Yes. Deities are everywhere. Not only the deities are everywhere. Yes?
So pervading in the air, the sound.
The sound, those loudspeakers are everywhere. Devotees are everywhere. Dust is everywhere. Especially if you sit in the samadhi and chant between 8:30 to 9, when he shakes all the carpets, if you want to get bathed in the dust of the devotees. Yes?
Instead of good afternoon, thank you, please welcome, they all say
Radhe Radhe. Radhe Radhe. Yes, when I noticed that the rickshawwalas, they say that because on my bicycle the bell is not working. So actually it works for everything. It works for people. Radhe Radhe, if a monkey comes to attack, Radhe Radhe, he goes away. So if ever a monkey comes, they understand, Radhe Radhe. It's the best thing to say to the monkeys if you get attacked. And yes, for dogs, for monkeys, for people, Radhe Radhe. And then, so how else can we automatically meditate upon Krishna here in Braj? There's another thing you forgot about. There's loudspeakers. No, we already said that. Adi Purush got it. Bhagavat Shravan. There's also... Huh? Yamuna's here. Also on the trees, and there's Radhe Radhe everywhere. On the trees and on the walls. But now they've got these billboards that weren't there before. What to do? You've got more than Radhe Radhe, but... you've got, anyway, but still, the trees, this tree here has Radhe on it. Shri Radhe, Radhe Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. So this is Vrindavan. And Prabhupada in this purport explains how to live in Vrindavan. So here he says, Vrindavan has many temples, and in one or more of these temples one may see the form of the Supreme Lord as Radha Krishna or Krishna Balaram and meditate upon this form. It's expressed here by the words Brahmani Adhyaya, one should concentrate one's mind upon the Supreme Lord, Parabrahman. This Parabrahman is Krishna, as confirmed by Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma, Param Tama, Pavicham, Paramam Bhavan. Krishna and his abode, Vrindavan, are not different. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Aratya Bhagavan Vijayashtanayas Tatama Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is as good as Krishna. Therefore, if one somehow or other gets the opportunity to live in Vrindavan, and if one is not a pretender, but simply lives in Vrindavan and concentrates his mind upon Krishna, one is liberated from material bondage. One's mind is not purified, however, even in Vrindavan, if one is agitated by lusty desires. So there were some cases when Prabhupada was here of devotees being agitated in Vrindavan. So he was warning us against that. One should not live in Vrindavan and commit offenses, for a life of offenses in Vrindavan is no better than the lives of the monkeys and hogs there. Many monkeys and hogs live in Vrindavan, and they are concerned with their sexual desires. Men who have gone to Vrindavan but who still hanker for sex should immediately leave Vrindavan and stop their grievous offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. There are many misguided men who live in Vrindavan to satisfy their sexual desires, but they are certainly no better than the monkeys and hogs. So recently I saw a sign up at the information center. 40-year-old man desires wife. Yeah. Age 30 to 35. The information center. You know where they say, you know, share taxi and... It's like, whoa. Interesting. I always, you know, I'm a reading addict, so I have to read everything I see. I say, oh, there's a new sign. Let me see what it says. And this is a fact, that many people come here to find a husband or a wife in Vrindavan, but it's not the place. And many do find, actually. Actually, there's so many marriages here every year. But this is not what you're supposed to come to Vrindavan to do or find. You don't come to Vrindavan for that. So the sign wasn't up very long, and somebody must have complained. Or else maybe he found someone, who knows. Vrindavan, all your desires are fulfilled. So, anyway. Those who are under the control of Maya, specifically under the control of lusty desires, are called Maya Mriga. Indeed, everyone in the conditional stage of material life is a Maya Mriga. It is said, Maya Mrigam Daiti Epsitam Anvatavat. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas to show his causeless mercy to the Maya Mrigas, people of this material world who suffer because of lusty desires. One should follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and always think of Krishna in full Krishna consciousness. Then one will be eligible to live in Vrindavan and his life will be successful. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, so how can the lust be pacified? Answer. Place your mind in the Lord's form, qualities, etc. Formless meditation is impossible, so focus the mind on Brahman with a form. Later it will be mentioned, Yayati attains Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's 9:19:25. Okay, what does this mean, I shall wander with the animals? No. That's what your husband said. I know you're both preachers, so that's a good answer. You're matching. Preach. Go out and preach. Yes. One time. Amongst the animals. One time I was describing the Bhakti Lata creeper. And you know the Bhakti Lata creeper, it grows, it pierces the universe, goes to the lotus feet of Krishna, and then you get the fruits. So I asked, so what do you do with the fruits? And the devotees, he said, distribute! Distribute the fruits. No, the verse says you eat them, actually. But that Prabhupada trained us up very well. What do we do with the fruits? We distribute. Don't eat. First you eat. The Lord Chaitanya, his example, he ate the fruits. He tasted, and then he distributed. So first you have to taste. But if you don't have taste, what will you distribute? So taste the fruit, and then give that taste. Now back to the comment of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, and he's going to explain what it means, I shall wander with the animals. Here's the meaning. For so long you were your lady's toy deer, dancing in the backyard of your home. So he was a toy of his wife, or more than one wife. So from now on you should dance in the forest with the black deers absorbed in Krishna Lila. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So, verse 20. One who knows that material happiness, whether good or bad, in this life or in the next, on this planet or on the heavenly planets, is temporary and useless. That's an intelligent person should not try to enjoy or even think of such things, is the knower of the self. Such a self-realized person knows quite well that material happiness is the very cause of continued material existence and forgetfulness of one's own constitutional position. So we'll go to the purport from the second quote, which is inside the verse, inside the paragraph, and that is, yada yada hi dharmasya glani bhavati bhavata. The words dharmasya glani mean pollution of one's existence. So we all have our dharmasya glani. We all have our different pollution of religious principles, pollution of our existence. Prabhupada says, our existence is now polluted. It must be purified. Sattvam shuddhye. So what is this verse, sattvam shuddhye? Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke. Yes. Don't be like the stool-eating hogs. You have got this gift of the human form of life. Prabhupada says, a human life is meant for purification, not for thinking of happiness in terms of the external body, which is the cause of material bondage. Therefore, in this verse, Maharaja Yati advises, whatever material happiness we see and whatever is promised for enjoyment is all merely flickering and temporary. So if we can just understand this one thing from today's class, then our class will be successful and we'll be ready, we'll be prepared to hear 10th canto next year. You have to give up your material desires in order to understand the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It's different. It's not this lusty love of this material world. It's on a completely different level. And if you look at it with your vision of enjoying this world, then you won't see the real thing. It will elude you. The pastimes will elude you and you'll misunderstand. You won't know what's going on. I mean, so what? The young boy, small boy is in the forest with the cows. So many boys go in the forest with the cows every day. You'll think it's ordinary, but no, it's Krishna. It's different. It's spiritual. So we have to remove so many anartas in order to hear Krishna Lila. In the commentary, Sridhar Swami, giving up material hankering is extremely difficult. How then is it possible to focus one's mind on the spirit? Answer. Consider everything seen and heard to be not true. And do not meditate on it. In this way, don't also enjoy it. By not meditating on anything seen or heard, one becomes the seer of the self. So isn't that interesting advice? Sridhar Swami's commentary on verse 20. Sridhar Swami, don't meditate on anything seen or heard. And that's all there is in this world. Whatever you see and whatever you hear, that's how you connect with this world, is by seeing and by hearing. If you don't have your eyes, if you don't have your ears, then you can't. It's very. Then you can't focus. Can't see. Yeah.
How does that apply then to taking the spiritual practice?
Yeah, of course we have a different. This is Sridhar Swami. Remember, he's preaching to the impersonalists.
In the 14th century.
Yeah, he's preaching. He's trying to attract the impersonalists. Yeah. And so our process, of course, is see Krishna as much as you can, hear about Krishna as much as you can. Now, this means material. Vishnu Thakurvati says, it is possible to give up thoughts of sense gratification by deliberating on the absolute truth. So he has a more positive approach. Deliberate on the absolute truth. One's meditation on the Supreme Lord becomes mature. One who is by his meditation sees the Lord considers all sense pleasures that are seen or heard about to be degenerate and unappetizing. And so Sridhar Swami advocates just give it up, don't meditate on it. And Vishwanath advocates meditating on the Lord, and then automatically you will give higher taste, in other words. He advocates a higher taste. Thus he does not think about them again and again and does not enjoy them. Moreover, he knows thinking and remembering about those things he saw and heard about destroys the soul. So if you meditate on those things, seen or heard in this world, you destroy your sir Atmaha. 21. Shukadeva Goswami said, after speaking in this way to his wife, Devayani, King Yayati, who was now free from all material desires, called his youngest son Puru and returned Puru's youth in exchange for his own old age. King Yayati gave the southeast to his son Druyu, the south to his son Yadu, the west to his son Tirvasu, the north to his son Anu. In this way he divided the kingdom. Yati enthroned his youngest son Puru as emperor of the entire world and the proprietor of all its riches, and he placed all the other sons who were older than Puru under Puru's control. Having enjoyed sense gratification for many, many years, O King Pariksit, Yati was accustomed to it, but he gave it up entirely in a moment, just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as its wings have grown. So this analogy is very nice. We all have to grow up. We have to grow wings, and we have to leave the nest. So what is the nest? We have to leave the nest behind. And that is? Grihastha ashram? Well, it's not necessarily. Yes, Grihastha ashram is what he's talking about right here. But there's something, abaya. Yeah, our material conceptions, our material, yes, Janmashtami.
Just going to say attachment to sense gratification.
Attachment to sense gratification, to being the enjoyer, to the idea that this is me, I am the enjoyer. And if it doesn't happen the way I want it, then I become angry, frustrated, dissatisfied. And so this is Labanglata.
I was just going to say give up the whole material life.
Just give up the whole material life. Put on white, or take sannyas. Yes. That save yourself a lot of problem, a lot of trouble. Just give it up altogether. But also, you have to, it's more than that. Yes, you have to give up the idea of enjoying, or seeing yourself in that position of purusha, purusha bhav. Mm-hmm.
Reminds me of the verse of Vitrasura.
Vitrasura.
Battlefield.
Uh-huh.
Just as the bird is totally depending on its mother for the income of food, just as a fallen wife is waiting for the husband, in the same way, my Lord, I'm waiting for you.
Yes, so Vitrasura expresses, he uses a bird, but in a different way, that he's so completely dependent upon the Lord, just like a baby bird is dependent upon the mother. Purport, that Maharaj Yayati was immediately liberated from bondage of conditioned life is certainly astonishing, considering his history of 1,000 years of enjoyment with beautiful women. But the example given herewith is appropriate. A tiny baby bird, dependent fully on its father and mother, even to eat, suddenly flies away from the nest when its wings have grown. So, did you know that? The baby bird just takes off one day and leaves home, just like, actually, especially in the Western countries, your kids just take off one day and and leave home, age, very young age, at the age of 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, at least 20. So this happens. Similarly, but we have to do this also as devotees. We have to grow up. So what does it mean to grow up as a devotee? What does it mean to fly away from the nest in Janmashtami? Take full shelter of Krishna, give up sense gratification. Lila Madhuri.
Take responsibility to take all the necessary steps so that life is regulated in Krishna consciousness.
Okay. And regulate your life in Krishna consciousness. Yes?
Take
a project to heart. Yes. Take up the burden of this movement. It's a burden. Burden of love. Burden of love. So yes, that's what it means to grow up as a devotee. Not that you're simply interested in your own self-realization, but you take up the mood of Srila Prabhupada and Prahlad Maharaj, and you try to take others back with you. You're certainly going back to Godhead, and you're certainly already on a level where you can help others, because you know something. You have some information, you have some knowledge, you have some experience. So you grow up and take some of the burden of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada's mission. Similarly, Prabhupada says, if one fully surrenders the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one is immediately liberated from the bondage of conditioned life, as promised by the Lord Himself. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshishami mascha. Stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Now he comes with a completely different quote, actually. It's interesting he placed it here. Kirata Hunanda Pulinda Pukasha Habira Shumba Yavana Kasaraya Yenyet Papa Yara Pasha Yashayaha Sajanta Tasmaya Pravishave Maha. Kirata Hun Andra Pulinda Pukasha Abira Shumba Yavana and Kasa races, and even others addicted to sinful acts, can be purified by taking shelter of devotees of the Lord, for He is the Supreme Power. I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. So we should surrender. He's giving us hope. Doesn't matter who you are or where you're born. Lord Vishnu is so powerful, He can deliver anyone at once if He is pleased to do so. So the point is that it just took Him a second to become liberated. It happened immediately, like in a moment. And so Prabhupada is telling us, it can happen to us too. If Krishna is pleased with us, He can deliver us immediately. Lord Vishnu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna can be pleased immediately if we accept His order by surrendering unto Him, as Maharaj Yati did. So how can we please Krishna immediately? Accept His order. And what is His order? Sarvadharmam prityaja mamekam sharanam. We should remember, this is the order of Krishna, this is the Krishna Upadesh that Lord Chaitanya wants us to spread. This is it. And this is for us. If we follow this order, if we accept this order, then we can have immediate freedom from bondage. Maharaj Yayati was eager to serve Vasudeva, Krishna. Therefore, as soon as he wanted to renounce material life, Lord Vasudeva helped him. We must, therefore, be very sincere in surrendering ourselves unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Then we can immediately be liberated from all the bondage of conditioned life. This is clearly expressed in the next verse. So Burijan gives a comment here. Maharaj Parikshit is hearing this. He must be encouraged by hearing of Yayati's renunciation. So he's talking that you're attached, somebody's attached, but at some point one must say, cut it out. No more. No more of this. Enough. And so that was Burijan speaking. Enough of this sense enjoyment. There comes a point in your life where you get this renunciation. Verse 25. Because King Yayati completely surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he was freed from all contamination of the material modes of nature. Because of his self-realization, he was able to fix his mind upon the transcendence, Parabrahman, Vasudeva, and thus he ultimately achieved the position of an associate of the Lord. Bhagavatam. So purport, five lines down. One must come to the platform of Shuddha Sattva, transcending the Sattva Guna. Then one is Viduta Trilinga, cleansed of contamination caused by three modes of material nature. This is possible by the mercy of Krishna, stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Shimatam Sakata Krishna Punyashagana Kirtana Hidantasta Hibajani Vitunati Suditsatam. Shri Krishna, personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, Supersoul in everyone's heart and benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Now here's a sentence to take note of. A person trying to be perfectly Krishna conscious by hearing the words of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita certainly has all the dirty things cleansed from the core of his heart. So, we are very fortunate that we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We're going to have everything, we're having a good cleanup of our hearts by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also says, Chaita Dharpana Marjanam, the process of hearing and chanting glories of the Supreme Lord washes away the dirty things accumulated in the core of the heart. As soon as one is freed from all the dirt of material contamination, as Maharaj Yati was, one's original position as an associate of the Lord is revealed. This is called Swarup Siddhi, or personal perfection. So this is, we can look forward to this when we come to a certain level of chanting, Nishta Asakti, Ruchi, Ruchi Asakti, in those higher levels, and we can see the form of the Lord, and then later on, what is our relationship is revealed. On Nishta, you can see the form, you can perceive, and then later, qualities, pastimes, everything is revealed. Sarup Siddhi, 26. When Devayani heard Maharaj Yati's story of the he-goat and she-goat, she understood that this story, which was presented as if a funny joke for entertainment between husband and wife, was intended to awaken her to her constitutional position. Purport. When one actually awakens from material life, one understands his real position as an eternal servant of Krishna. This is called liberation. Muktir hitvanyata rupam sarupena vyavastiti. Under the influence of Maya, everyone living in this material world thinks he is the master of everything. Ahankara himutatma kartaha niti manyate. One thinks there is no God or controller and that one is independent and can do anything. This is the material condition, and when one awakens from this ignorance, he is called liberated. Maharaj Yati had delivered Devayani from the well, and finally, as a dutiful husband, he instructed her with a story about the he-goat and she-goat, and thus delivered her from the misconception of material happiness. Devayani was quite competent to understand her liberated husband, and therefore she decided to follow him as his faithful wife. 27-28. Thereafter, Devayani, daughter of Shukracharya, understood the materialistic association of husband, friends, and relatives is like the association in a hotel full of tourists. The relationships of society, friendship, and love are created by the Maya of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exactly as in a dream. By the grace of Krishna, Devayani gave up her imaginary position in the material world. Completely fixing her mind upon Krishna, she achieved liberation from the gross and subtle bodies. So here we have an analogy in this verse that society, friendship, and love is like being in a hotel full of tourists. So how does this apply to, how does being in a hotel full of tourists apply to our relationships? Yes. It's temporary. Yes, it's temporary. It's not our relation. What's another? Yes.
It's fleeting.
It's fleeting. It's the same. Yes.
Also because we can't know tourists. We don't know them.
We can't know them, really. We're all covered. We don't know each other. We're covered by the body and the subtle, gross and subtle body. We don't know the real soul, the real person. Uh-huh. Good. Huh?
Everybody's in the wrong place.
Everybody's in the wrong place. You're not at home. Nobody's at home. You're in the hotel. We're all in the hotel here for a few days, Prashanta.
Everyone has come with the same purpose to enjoy.
Yes, the tourists are coming to enjoy. Yes,
Sometimes, if I give you an example, you try to decorate the hotel room.
Try to decorate
the hotel room.
Hotel room.
As if it's,
as if it's permanent. But what's the use? And that's why sannyasis are not supposed to stay more than 3 days in one place. So they don't get start arranging things very comfortably, make a comfortable, okay, now I'm here, I'm going to be here for 1 week. Let me start, let's see, this will go here and that will go there. And maybe I need something more for this room. And, you know, no, don't do that. So that's life in this material world. Very good. Hotel full of tourists. What are some other analogies that are similar to this? Yeah.
The beautiful analogy in 10, 5, 20. That we are compared to planks, which are covered by the current of a river.
Planks covered by the current of a river, which come together and go
sometimes
apart.
Come together, sometimes we're separate.
And guess who said that? You know? 10, 5, or 7, 5?
I think it's 10, 5.
10, 5. Guess who said that? Who's preaching this? Kamsa. He's preaching to Vasudeva and Devaki after they lost, after he killed all their children. He says, oh, it's just like, you know, like this. After he killed all of their sons. And he's preaching this philosophy. Yes, well, you know, it's just like planks in the water. And he's preaching it's karma. Yeah.
Toys.
Put together and separated by a child. Yes, just like toys. They come together. Okay, straws come together and separate. Toys come together. Put the child puts it here and puts it there. Sometimes people think God is like that. He's just like we're pieces on the chessboard and he's moving the players at random or at his whims, at his whim. But it's not like that. Not like that. Even the gopis. They say, you know, providence, you are so cruel. You bring us with Krishna and then you separate us. What is this? Just like a child playing with his toys. So, yes, they condemn providence. Now, there's other, any other, yes, Yashoda?
Time brings people together and takes them apart. And differences come due to social intercourse.
Okay, that's Kunti's prayer. Kunti's prayer, the time. Mani tam kala mishanam, you are time. Yes, okay. Also, another analogy would be on the train. You're going on the train with somebody, and somebody who tries to be really comfortable on the train, but, you know, you're going to get off very soon, so what's the use? Yeah.
Also, it's compared to a drama.
A drama? Okay. Yes, that's also a good analogy, because it's not real. You know, in the drama, somebody's your enemy, but he's not really your enemy, it's just a drama. And you're both getting a salary and or whatever, and after you may be the best of friends, actually. But in the dream, in the drama, you're enemies. And so this is going on. So this, yes, Adi Purush.
Right here, a dream.
A dream, yeah, right there. It's a dream. Exactly as in a dream. Relationships are like a dream. Mirage. Getting water in the desert. In the mirage of a desert. Getting water in the mirage. Yeah?
One drop.
So in the desert, you get a drop of water, then, you know, what's the use? You're in the desert. And you get a drop. And it doesn't help at all. It doesn't help. Yeah. Okay, the spider winds up his... That's another example of how it's temporary. The spider makes his web and then he brings it back in to himself. Okay, Adi Purush.
A drop of water tottering on the...
A lily leaf. Yeah, so that's our life. Our life, we're just like a drop of water tottering on a lily leaf. So the moral is get serious. Get serious. We're in a difficult situation and we should surrender to Krishna, as Krishna says, Sarvadharma Pritya, and accept a life of renunciation voluntarily, and then we will be happy. If you want happiness, then you have to free yourself. And these verses, one after the other, explaining how to become free from lusty desires. the very instructive verses by a person who had unlimited lusty desires and tried to satisfy them unlimitedly, but was not successful. So it's good to learn from somebody like that, who is experienced in the field of lusty desires, how he overcame. You know, they have these people who testify, I gave up drugs, I gave up alcohol, and they tell how they did it. So here's somebody who is giving up lusty desires, and he's telling how to do it. Our Bhagavatam is explaining. Yes? Yeah, not just gross. Well, the subtle ones are the main ones, because the gross comes from the subtle. So first it's subtle, and then if you listen or meditate long enough, it'll come on the gross. It may come in your words, may come in your actions. But actually it all begins with the subtle. And it begins in the seed stage. So if the seed fructifies, and if you allow it, if you give it some water, then it's going to grow. Yeah.
I was thinking sometimes even being in current experience may not be sufficient.
Yes, of course.
Shukadeva Goswami makes the point actually. They are patyakara tradishu atmasanishu satsapi.
Yes. That's one verse. It says, even though they see that every day,
even experience,
they're experienced. And there's another verse.
They know that the description is going to an end.
Yes.
They carry on.
But they cannot help themselves. Just like Dhritarashtra, when he knew Krishna was the Supreme Lord, but he was too attached to his son and he could not give up that attachment. He knew. So verse...
Even though deity is experienced, he has been graced also. He must have been graced.
Yeah, it said he got the mercy of Krishna. Mercy of Krishna.
Sometimes doing experience is...
No, experience is not enough in this material world. Otherwise, why do we come back birth after birth for more experience?
True.
Why do we come back? But this life, we have to make that determination not to. Yes.
Gives the answer in the last
one. Okay, here we'll have the answer here. And it's a prayer, actually. The last verse is a prayer to the Lord Vasudev. So I'll sing it. Namastubhyam Bhagavate Vasudevaya Vedase Sarvabhuta Divasaya Shantaya Vihate Namaha. O Lord Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation. You live as a supersoul in everyone's heart and are smaller than the smallest. Yet you are greater than the greatest and are all-pervading. You appear completely silent, having nothing to do. But this is due to your all-pervading nature and your fullness in all opulences. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So we'll go to the end of the purport. Srila Prabhupada paraphrases a verse from Bhagavad Gita in a different way. So let's see if you can get the verse. I'll read the sentence. Surrender. Oh, the verse is there. Oh, it's not fun. Okay. Anyway, it's there. I didn't put it in my notes, but it's there. I might as well sing it. Bhavanam jamanam mante ganavanmam papadyate. Surrender to Vasudeva is the result of hearing about him for many, many births. So that's a new translation on that verse. Usually that verse is after many births and deaths, one who is in knowledge of me surrenders to me. But Prabhupada says here, as soon as surrender is the result of hearing about him for many, many births. Interesting. As soon as one surrenders unto Vasudeva, one is liberated immediately. Because of her association with her great husband, Mahajayati, Devyani became purified, adopted the means of bhakti yoga, and thus became liberated. And now we will hear from Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. He asks us a question. If someone asks, by which sadhana can one absorb one's mind in Krishna? This verse replies, namas, by offering obeisances, meditation, chanting, etc. When Ambarish became emperor of the seven dweeps, at that time Yayati became his governor for Bharatavash, mainly, where he ruled and resided. This link is established, interesting, by their both being in the eighth generation from Brahma. Marichi, Kashyap, Vivasvan, Sharadev, Nabaga, Nabaga, Ambarish. Okay? Brahma, Atri, Chandra, Buddha, Pururava, Ayu, Nahusha, Yayati. So they're both eighth generation. So they're contemporaries. Ambarish and Yayati are contemporaries in this world. Yeah, but the difference is that Ambarish is Suryavamsa, and Yayati is Somavamsa. So the two vamsas are there simultaneously. Ambarish was emperor of the seven dweeps, and Yayati was ruling Bharatvarsh. Okay.
Seven
dweeps
out of nine.
That's what it says here. And Ambarish.
Seven of
seven.
Seven of seven.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, you put Varsha here, but mainly. Oh, so Yayati had seven Varshas of Jambudvip. Ambarish had all the whole Bhumandala. So that's big.
Because there's nine Varshas.
Yeah, there's nine Varshas. He got seven out of nine, and Ambarish got the whole Bhumandala. And so he was even higher than Yayati. And he was a devotee, so serves him right. Yeah, that is why the power of Ambarisha's association, such a lecher as Yayati developed such devotion. And by association, so that's how, well, okay, there's the answer. How Yayati developed, he got association with Ambarish.
Oh.
That's how he did it.
To say the least.
Yeah, he got Ambarish's association, who was always engaged, Savai Mana Krishna, Padaravindayo. And that's why, by the power of Ambarisha's association, Yayati developed such devotion. And by association with Yayati, the same devotion was developed by Devyani. So he had his good association. Suryavamsa, there was a devotee, Ambarish, and he's in the Somavamsa. Yes.
So they were both there at the same time.
Yeah, they were there. That's what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says. Ambarish and Yayati were contemporaries. No, you didn't count. You missed the fifth canto. Jambudvip is one of the seven islands of Bhumandala. Bhumandala is huge. So Ambarish had the whole Bhumandala. Now,
so what I'm saying is that they were both contemporaries at the same time. So how would they both rule in the whole?
No,
Yayati is a small king compared to Ambarish.
Yeah, because Jambudvip is different from, is only one of the seven islands of Bhumandala, but within Jambudvip there's nine varshas. So within Jambudvip, Yayati was ruling,
so
seven
he
varshas.
A subservient king.
He was a subservient king, yeah. Whereas Ambarish had the whole Bhumandala, which is heavenly. Oh, even Jambudvip's heavenly, but it was much larger area. You have to study the geography of fifth canto to understand this, actually, this point. So those of you who have taken fifth canto can understand the difference between Bhumandala and Jambudvip. Jambudvip is one island of the seven in Bhumandala, which is huge. It's the whole circumference of the whole length of the universe. The whole diameter of the universe is Bhumandala. And Jambudvip is just the middle island of that. And in Jambudvip, there's nine divisions, varshas. And of those nine varshas, Yayati was ruling seven of the nine varshas. And Bharatvarsh, our world, our earth, as we know it now, is Bharatvarsh, one of those nine varshas. Yes?
So Bhumandala is just this, encompasses just this universe.
Yes. It's this universe, it encompasses only this universe, and it's the diameter of the
system only.
Yeah.
Right? Only one.
Yeah, it has. It's
out
it's.
Of 14. It's only one.
Yeah, yes. Out of 14, there's 14 divisions, and Bhumandala is in the middle. There's seven below, and there's six above Bhumandala.
And so, all of those planetary systems, that encompasses all the universes.
No. Yeah. No. This is only this one universe.
Bhumandala. You got seven below and six above.
Yeah, but that's all within this one universe. It's all in this universe. This universe, Bhumandala is just the middle of it. And then the rest are above and below.
So
like we have Bhumandala, Bhuvar, Swargaloka, Maharloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, and Satyaloka are above. And then the low below is Sutala, Atala, Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Patala.
I don't know if there's anything written in Vedic literature about other universes. Isn't there a structure?
There are references. But yes, of course, when Brahma came to visit Krishna in Dwarka, then you see the other other ones.
So
there are references.
Similar structures.
Yes, everything is the same, except the size is bigger and Brahma is larger. He has many more heads. It's more complex. Ours is the simplest universe that we know. It's the smallest and simplest.
So Brahma has more heads. Aren't the heads that our Brahma has?
Ours has four.
Yeah, because of the direction, isn't it?
Yeah, that's. These are, you know, these are given in the Puranas, how he got his four heads. Different stories are there. But also, yes, but the other universes are even more, there are perhaps more dimensions and more directions even than we have. We have four directions, and other universes have more directions, so they need more heads. And they're more complex. Ours is very simple and straightforward. Yeah.
So the Buddha compares Bhumandanantri planet to the modern planetary system of
Sadaputta, yes. Yes, he compares it and he shows correspondences to the different. Yeah, we learned that last year actually in his video. If you watched his video, then you could see how the modern solar system corresponds to Bhumandala in many ways. The different rings of the dweeps correspond to the orbits of the planets from Mercury to Saturn. Mercury to Saturn. They correspond practically exactly. Okay, let me finish this comment by Vishwanathan, and we'll have questions. It can be noted in this connection that Suryavamsa and Chandravamsa progress side by side. So whenever a king from the sun lineage is emperor of all the seven continents, then I didn't know that. Then a moon lineage or Somavamsa king becomes a governor. Okay, whenever a king from the Surya Vamsa is emperor of all the seven continents, the Moon Vamsa king becomes a governor. Whenever a king from the Moon dynasty is emperor, then one from the Sun dynasty is a king. So that's the arrangement for appointing emperors and kings between the two dynasties. Interesting comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur.
I was confused because he used the word governor and then
he used the word king. I don't know, is that different words?
Yeah. One is Mangala Dhyaksha, the other is Raja.
Raja.
But it almost seems like...
Emperor is Chakravarti.
Emperor is Chakravarti, Mandala Adhyaksha is governor, and then Raja is king.
It seems that sentence structure is like it's vice versa. You know,
it's not quite vice versa, according to this. The moon king becomes a governor, and then the sun king becomes just a king, it seems.
It's the same.
Or is it the same?
It's parallel.
Okay, it's parallel then.
Yeah. That is emperor, the other is
the governor.
Small ruler.
Okay.
I mean, just like Kedah, the Tiamambarish was Surya, the Dirtin is Chandra.
Yeah. So, any questions or comments? We have a few minutes left. Leela Majuri. Okay, that verse, what's that verse number? Adibhautik, Adidaivik? It's a verse.
715.
How to counteract. Oh, I've got it right here. 24. 24. It's a verse, yeah. Easy to find. I just give you the verse number and you can look it up. 715:24. Tells how to counteract the threefold miseries in different ways. Any other questions? Abe? Back to the geography. Yeah.
So, where all the human type of dynasties live.
Yeah.
It's 400,000 human types.
Bhumandala.
So I know there's some Gandharvas who are considered, you know, human type and like this, but I'm just
Yeah, you really have to study the fifth canto. But just to make it short, those who live, there's three types of heavenly planets or heavenly life. There's Bila Swarga, Boma Swarga, and Swarga Swarga, or whatever, Deva Swarga. So in this, for earthly human beings, there's only one place where everyone suffers, and that's Bart Varsh. All the other Varshas and all the other places on Bhu Mandala is heavenly, Bhauma Swarga, and they live 10,000 years. And they're like, it's like a demigod life. Only in Bhardvarsh, our earth, our present place, is where you get your karma and you suffer and enjoy. The other places you just enjoy. And then there's higher, where the demigods live, and then there's lower, where the demonic persons live, the demons. So there's a heavenly planet there for them. Sutala is heavenly. Bila Swarga, and then there's other Swarga, heavenly Deva Swarga, and then there's Boma. But we're the only place in the universe where everyone suffers and enjoys.
The Bila Swarga is Sutala.
Sutala, and I think it may include other planets as well. But Sutala, of course, was described to be equal to Indra's place, or even greater than Indra's place.
I mean, it's completely confused now because.
I'll bet.
It's Saturn and all these are the planets. So
what's that?
It's Saturn, Mercury, and all the different rings of the Bhu Mandala.
No, they're not the rings of Bhu Mandala. They're above. They're all above, and they're orbiting the sun, but their orbits correspond to the rings which are down on that plane. That's how Sataputta.
Because, I mean, it doesn't say anything about these rings of land which get increasingly twice as big.
Yeah, it just.
It mentions about the jungle of it. And
no, it does describe. It's described in fifth canto.
About the life on them.
It does. You have to study.
Of course.
Yeah, 10,000 years. Well, anyway, it's a heavenly life. Describes you can study. Bhu Mandala, everybody's living a heavenly life except us. Because we're meant to get out. Human life is meant for liberation.
That's why the Buddha said that even the demigods aspire to take birth on Bharatvarsh.
Bharatvarsh.
Because coming down from Svarga, there are little kaiti left. This gives you the credit to be born on Bhuma Svarga, and from Bhuma Svarga you end up in Bharat.
I understand that. But I can't remember reading about the different verses which are written, so going on. I know that there's life like King Purusha Varsh and all these.
Yeah, that's Shyamatri. Then you have to read, perhaps it's chapter 20. Chapter 20, perhaps. Yeah, it talks about Kramchadweep, Plakshadweep, Kramchadweep, and it has different rings, ocean of ghee, ocean of yogurt, ocean of sugarcane. They're surrounded by different oceans. So ours is salt water. Jambadweep is surrounded by salt water. And there's an ocean of liquor, an ocean of sugarcane, ocean of ghee, ocean of yogurt, and clear water. So you had a question, Jamashmi?
Yeah, I was having a discussion with Gadananda.
In Radhadish.
Jada, not Yarunanda, but Janananda.
Oh, Janananda, uh-huh.
He just came back. He taught a course and Manaprast.
Oh.
In Mayapur, just now, and they're in the festival. And of course, this is this pastime is kind of instructive in that way.
Very instructive, yes.
But he made the point that, and I think there's a lot of validity to it. That there may be midlife crisis for the non-devotee or whatever.
Mm.
But at the same time. Devoted men, and they started realizing that it's time to wind things down.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, if you're serious, but even the most serious get challenged.
So the point I'm making is that it also seems that this is part of the process that the husband has to help his wife become realized.
Yeah, that's part of the duty. That of the husband for the wife, you have to liberate your dependence, and the wife is dependent. The husband, you should not be. That's a verse in fifth canto. should not become husband, should not become mother, father, pitana sasyat, patina sasyat.
This seems to be the standard challenge. Like with Prabhupada, you just...
Well, she wasn't interested.
Yeah.
Tea or me? Oh, I'll take tea. He said, he was telling her, you choose, me or tea, tea or me. Yeah. Yeah, their son delivered them. Of course, their son was incarnation.
But Prabhupada writes in the paper being also that that's also the son's duty.
It's also the son's duty.
When the father takes
Oh, yes, right, yeah. So she's bringing the point that when the husband takes sannyas, it's the son's duty to liberate the mother.
Protect her and also liberate.
Protect and liberate, yeah. So liberation is also the duty of the son, not just material protection. Okay, according to the pastime of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. Yeah, it's part of the responsibility of the husband towards the wife. Is that what he said? He made that point?
Mm-hmm.
Ajahnananda made that point in teaching Vanaprastha Ashram.
No, he was just making a point. Of
Where's his wife then? I wonder.
But now he's just making the point of the force, you know, that or kind of the urge for renunciation to come to a certain age.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good if it comes. It's good. It should come. It should come at a certain age. And yes, Sachinandan Swami was talking about that. How it really comes when you hit 50, and so that's good. If you've pleased Krishna enough in this life and pleased Srila Prabhupada and haven't committed offenses to a lot of devotees, then surely it will come. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Yashoda.
I just basically find a lot of senior devotees are all sharing the same concern these days about the level of advancement of age, and I see many of them sensing time and
urgency of time.
Urgency.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I think it's a common. I feel it. It's a common thing. I hear them all saying that.
Okay, that's nice.
Obviously,
that all the older devotees are saying yes, and now it's time to get serious and about life. Time to grow up. That's the fruit of the practice, right. The fruit of, and if you, it's also the fruit of proper grihastha life. The fruit of proper grihastha life is renunciation. If you do your grihastha life properly, then the fruit will be that you will be ready to renounce.
Which is different from aversion.
Yeah, different from aversion. Different from aversion. Anything else? Before we stop. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.